Sorry, Glenn just stepped out. Do you have access as well to the tool?
I do.
I don't have.
Not a problem. I will read through. On the call today, myself, Paul Diaz, as Chair and Network Solutions Representative from the Registrar constituency. We also have Kevin Erdman from the IPC, Barbara Steele from the Registry constituency, Sebastian Bachelet. Do I pronounce that properly, Sebastian?
Yeah. Okay.
From Sebastian, ALEC. You are NCUC or ALEC? I'm sorry.
ALEC.
We have Mike Runbaugh from the business constituency, James Liddell from the registrar constituency. For staff, we have Marika Koning and Olaf Norling, and Glenn, I'm sure, will be rejoining us in a moment. And regrets this week from Adam Eisner. Hopefully other colleagues can join, and if there are any other regrets that have been conveyed to Glenn, she can put them into the record later. Okay, everyone, thank you for being on the call today. A couple issues I'd like to, somewhat administrative issues I'd like to take care of right at the top. Request from Marika, the public comment period. If you all have looked at the list, we've only received a handful of comments. Very importantly, the intellectual property constituency has already submitted their response. Very much appreciate their getting that in as quickly as they have. A couple other responses, unfortunately. Sorry about that. Unfortunately, not very well focused on our particular PDP, but they're there anyway. Since we our publicly published calendar had the comment period due to close on the 29th, we are going to close the initial round for now. Of course, the registries, the constituencies have until this Friday. So encourage everybody. I know registrars are finalizing their comments, other constituencies as well. Please get your comments in by the end of this week. But we will close the public one right now. That will give staff opportunity to begin to summarize the responses, begin preparing the initial draft. Another issue on the list, we've been seeking interest from folks on having a meeting while we're in Cairo. We need to come to a decision on this today, please, because, again, staff will need to make arrangements, both finding a room, setting up a bridge for those who won't be joining us to dial in, et cetera. You know, questions on the table for everyone. Do you feel that we it would be beneficial to have a meeting? For what it's worth, in my network solutions capacity, I would just say I don't see a big problem in taking a week off. There's certainly a lot of other things going on in Cairo. However, as I noted on the list, in both chair, wide open to whatever the group wants to do. Just ask that we make a decision on today's call so that, again, staff can start making any arrangements if necessary, because resources are starting to close up pretty quickly. They need to get a jump on that. So for those who are on the call today, since we do have you know, pretty good number represented, you know, with what I've said, is everybody still basically in agreement with what they had originally posted on the list? They would like to have a meeting. Please, just if you would, you know, quickly chime in, or if you've changed your view, please let it be known.
Paul, this is Barbara. You know, originally I was thinking that it may be a good idea for us to get together, but I think that you made some very good points regarding, you know, just the openness of the meeting, and it may be better to go ahead and take a week off and reconvene after the meetings.
Okay. Thanks, Barbara. Others, please.
It's Mike Rodenbach. I agree with you, Paul, with Barbara. I think that there's just a really, really packed schedule already in Cairo. And several members of this working group that have been pretty active, I think, are not going to be there. So I'd just as soon put it off a week as well.
Thank you, Mike. Others?
Sebastian, I agree with you, except that I think it could be a good idea if we can, even if it's just 10 minutes, to gather together just to be sure that we know each other face-to-face for the one who will be there.
An excellent point, Sebastian. Question for you, Mike. The council, I know, is still working out their agenda for the first weekend, and at some point we will be updating council on the status of this group. Will we also be presenting at one of the council's public meetings, sort of a quick update for the public, or how does that work?
Well, usually, yes. Usually there's the working groups do, you know, a longer update session at the weekend meeting, so the council can ask questions and all, and then just a brief public update during the public meeting on Wednesday.
On Wednesday, very good. Okay, I know that they're still working out scheduling. Nothing's been set yet. Obviously, we'll communicate that once staff and council have worked it out with the rest of the group.
Yeah, and you know, if there's a scheduling conflict on the public update or something, then, you know, me or somebody else could probably give that. So.
Sure. All right. Let's see. Others. James?
Hey.
What are your views?
I don't have strong feelings in either direction, really? But I tend to agree with Sebastian. If we can perhaps informally convene just to put names and faces together, then I can't see any harm in that. And it should be a very light requirement in terms of resources. We could even meet in a lobby or for coffee or something.
Very good point. I know, Kevin, you're on the call. Will you be joining us in Cairo?
No, I won't.
Won't. Okay. So at best, it would be a dial-in for you. All right. Well, just doing a quick tally as we've run through, folks, it seems most feel that it's probably better to take a week off from a formal meeting. As the schedule gets a little clearer for us all, we will you know, figure out a way, an opportunity for us to informally meet on the margins of whether it's a coffee or one of the meetings, or perhaps even if we're given time at that public meeting on Wednesday. So stay tuned for that. But Marika, at this point, then I would say you don't have to worry about trying to make any room arrangements or dial-in connections and things like that.
Okay.
Okay. Face-to-face. Okay. Last issue, just want to thank Marika and everybody who's helped to contribute. The diagrams that you've probably seen on the list that spell out the process flow for transfers under EPP have been posted. Very useful, very illuminating, and I'm sure will be a great help for future PDTs focused on transfer policy issues as well. If you've not had opportunity, I really encourage everybody to check. They are both on the wiki and, of course, on our mailing list. Michael Connor, I guess, cannot join us today, but I would. I wonder anybody who was involved in the subgroup that he was sort of informally leading. Were there any other discussions subsequent to that first meeting? From my notes, I'm not clear if we decided to hold off on that or if there was going to be any other discussions. Bottom line, the question for the group would be, is there anything more to add beyond what Marika's presented us? Or does that basically flesh out and summarize the understanding, the learning that you all gathered?
Paul, this is James. I wasn't aware of any follow-up meetings beyond just the one. It's possible I wasn't invited.
I believe that's right, James. Again, my notes aren't the best, but I think we had agreed at the last call to, after the last presentation, I guess I was too cold back. Just hold off and wait. God's presentation.
And I think that's where it is.
Very good.
It remains.
Okay. Obviously, like everything with this working group, it's always open to more information and deeper understanding. So if anything else is developed, certainly communicate to the group, whether on the list, directly to Marika. We can always add to those wonderful flowcharts and graphics if necessary. Okay, those were the just sort of the quick admin things. One thing that we didn't get to last week, again with the very, very helpful guest appearance, if you will, from VeriSign Scott Hollenbeck, we were also supposed to discuss perhaps having a similar guest appearance from somebody from the SSAC to help us illuminate us with some of their findings, research, et cetera, on issues that surround domain hijackings and problems with the transfer policy, weaknesses with the policy, really with a specific focus on, I would think, charter question number two that talks about electronic authentication measures. But honestly, any of the charter questions. The question for the group here is, do you all feel that would be a worthwhile endeavor, inviting somebody from SSAC? If so, how soon would you like to try and get them? Before the initial report so that we can incorporate some of those things, or perhaps afterwards when we have a better idea of where the community stands on issues, and then we could have them tailor their responses to that initial report. Anybody, thoughts? What do you all think would be best?
I have, as you may recall, last week I took on the task of reaching out to Nominet about their PGP situation. In doing that, I went through Dave Piscatella, who's the ICANN staffer to the SSAC, and he's given me back some information about different electronic authentication methods, which I'll send over to the list right now. I'm just thinking it might be better to just frame a couple of written questions to Dave, and he can come back to the list with the actual resources that the SSAC has created in the past.
Excellent recommendation, Mike. Other thoughts? Everybody agree with Mike's idea?
This is Marika. Just as an add-on, I know, Mike, you asked as well the question of some more research on the different hijacks that were mentioned in Dave's initial response. And I did reach out to Stephen Vine from Register.com, who was a registrar in question for the ICANN IANA hijack. And Paul, actually, I sent a message to you as well, because I think Network Solutions was involved in one of the other ones, because there are some reports online about, describing what happened. But I think it would make sense to maybe get the feedback from the actual registrar to see, if anything would have made a difference to prevent those hijacks, if there's anything that the group could consider in the work we're doing now. So I haven't heard anything back yet, but I'm still hoping that I would get some feedback on that we'll be able to share with the group.
Yes, I'm happy to weigh in as the Network Solutions representative now. The case that you're referring to, Marika, dealt with the domain name Comcast.net. Comcast is a large internet service provider and cable company here in the U.S. Back in May, and I'm reading from a press release quote now. At the end of May, someone gained access to Comcast account through use of the customer's login information, and then subsequently redirected the DNS pointers. Right, the domain was Comcast.net was redirected for about 2 hours, and we quickly worked with the customer, helped them get their site back online. What's important to note is that the unauthorized access was not due to a breach in our system, and it was not gained through social engineering on our end. Some of the public reports were quoting the hackers, in fact, saying that they had gamed network solutions in some way. That's patently false. We, Network Solutions, are not at liberty to go into any further detail about what may or may not have happened at Comcast side. But, you know, ultimately it was a weakness on their side. And really that's about all there is to share with the group, because it wasn't on our side. There's really not much learning or knowledge that we can impart for the group. This particular case is just another example, however, of what we've already said in previous calls, that email can be a fundamental weak point in the transfer process or management of the domain resources, for that matter. And in this particular case, it was definitely a shortcoming on the way that the client, the registrant, had set up were managing their email account. So, at least for the Comcast example, that's about all we have to share, and ultimately it's not a whole lot to offer for the group. I'm not sure about the other examples, but we may also find ourselves in a kind of tricky place in that those who are involved and have a lot of information may be very sensitive about imparting too much, because then we could be teaching bad guys how to effectively hack various systems.
Paul, this is James.
Yes, James.
Thanks. That's good information. I know it's a very sensitive area, and without discussing any particular incidents, I can say that our experience is very similar, in that the vast majority of issues with loss of, I want to call it hijacking, or loss of control of a domain or its DNS, is in the vast majority of cases is traced back to a compromised email address. And in those cases, many of them are through a free email service such as Yahoo, Gmail,
sure.
Hotmail, those types of things. So what you've described is, I think, very very typical.
Yeah, an unfortunate common experience for registrars. And for the group, you know, the focus in our charter questions, we're talking about options for electronic authentication as part of the transfer process. The charter question focuses on email use as part of the transfer process, not the use of perhaps one of these free email accounts, just as email account that the registrant decides to use. Kind of a fundamental distinction, because we cannot force the clients, the customers, the registrants, to use or perhaps not use a particular address. And as we've seen over and over again, the free ones, whether it's notable politicians and media people using Yahoo accounts, or folks using Hotmail, Gmail, or what have you, it is not very difficult for somebody with malicious intent to take over that style email account, and that ultimately throws systems into disarray, and unfortunately is not unfortunately, but is truly beyond the scope of what we're trying to do here.
I agree that it's beyond the scope of issue number two, but I would, just playing devil's advocate and not at all suggesting that we go down this path, but I have heard of some situations where different shopping cart vendors and payment processors are starting to discriminate against free email addresses. So I think it is possible to make the distinction. I just I'm not sure what the implications would be in our industry, but I think that this is becoming a problem in other industries as well.
Yeah, that's a very fair point. And again, as we've often touched on in the course of our discussions as working group to date, let the market decide. I am aware of registrars that will, as part of the registration process, will warn customers about or against the use of free email accounts, or will have text as part of the registration process, just suggesting that people use an account that they feel is secure, that they feel they can maintain control of, will not get compromised, etc. They mm-hmm. might not particularly call out a Hotmail account or a Yahoo account, etc., but they're trying to educate the registrant during the process. Fundamentally, again, it's difficult to say you can't use it, and those who are discriminating against, it might be interesting to see how that affects their business practice. Again, though, for the particular questions that have been put before us and whatnot, I think that starts taking us beyond the scope of our particular challenge here with this working group. Other thoughts?
This is Mark. I think it is kind of beyond the scope of our mandate, and additionally, to try and implement that type of system, would effectively prevent people who can't afford commercial email from having domain names, which I think would be a huge political hot button issue were we to attempt to even go down that path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes it's an excellent point, Mark, and welcome this morning. Also, a lot of times you hear in the follow-ups, why did somebody use one of these free email accounts and their domain eventually gets hacked, hijacked, etc. And the folks often say they use something like that because, they know they're just using that account for the registration purposes and they don't care if spam goes there. Of course, it brings us, that's why this is definitely beyond the scope, because it starts introducing, all right, so what do you do to mitigate spam and whatnot? And again, there are market solutions, but if the simplest way for some people's mind is to just use a free email account, okay, that's their choice. But it, it comes at some risk.
Additionally, I'd like to point out that a lot of those social engineering techniques work just as well on commercial email accounts as they do on free accounts.
Good point.
Very fair point, yes. Just to go back to previous question about the ESSEC and Mike Rodenbaugh's offer, once we all have a chance to digest what Mike was provided, he'll post it up to the list, maybe in the intervening week between now and next Tuesday, and we can think about the questions on next week's call, work with staff to determine what particular questions will we put to them, what additional information does the working group feel we need, et cetera. So that'll sort of be an action item for all of us. Please check the email, digest whatever's been provided by ESSEC, and then we can figure out how we need to follow up, how we can tap into their expertise to help us better understand or answer the charter questions in front of us. Okay. With all that done, then, we've sort of spent most of our time to date focusing on the first two charter questions. There's always things, I'm sure, that will come up, and by no means do we feel we need to that we're done and moving on. Anytime somebody has an additional thought, idea, wants to go back, please raise it. But I would like to try to start spending a little more time focusing on a third question now. This idea of a partial bulk transfer.
Paul, before we
yes,
do that, perhaps I could just draw your attention to an email I sent to the list yesterday on follow-up on what's happening at the .sc.
Mm-hmm.
And in conclusion, there is not much we can learn from that in the sense of nifty way to change registrar, because registrars, as of today, have had a very limited role. And indeed, it's possible to change, but the information about registrar in their system is only indicative, so it has no formal meaning. But they're on their way to introduce what will be full-fledged registrar solution, and I sent around some information about what their procedures will be for that. So, well, just to straighten out a question mark that I heard was posed in a meeting I didn't attend while I was on holiday, but not much to look for in the sense of clever ideas when it comes to change of registrar or transfers in that context. Of course, they've still got their secure system, but even that is only based on CA cert or something of the sort, so it's they're planning to improve the security of the system as well. So that's just to round off on that.
Yes, and always thank you for following up, Olaf. Appreciate the input, even if, as you say, it might not be super specifically helpful to the particular work of this group. Olaf, I did have a question for you. Since .sc is one of the higher profile registries that has already implemented DNSSEC,
yeah.
Are you at all aware with the behind-the-scenes management DNSSEC, in any way does a transfer impact that particular security protocol by changing registrars in any way? At least my conceptualization of it, I'm not sure if it does, but I'm just wondering if perhaps if more registries start implementing DNSSEC, might that impact anything that we're doing here in this working group?
Interesting question. It's a bit the world upside down in Sweden, because the role of registrars today is basically that they canvass the market and they get hold of the customers, but they frequently provide hosting services and the like. But formally, they haven't been registrars in any GTLD sense up till pretty soon. So, but they've got DNSSEC running. So it's a follow-up question for me to talk about whether that will be simplified by having the registrar model now than when they've got DNSSEC ordered from the start, or whether that would complicate matters. I don't have enough the cuff answer to it.
I don't have a strong enough tech background, particularly with this new protocol. But I mean, it, at least at a simple view, if DNSSEC certainly, you know, meets the definition of electronic authentication measure, I just don't understand in its implementation if in any way it might be extended in some way that could be beneficial for the work of this particular working group. So if you would, please, you know.
Yeah, I'll check up with them. I fear that there are sort of responses to two different questions, really, but I'll check up.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think really it could be a good question, Sebastian, sorry. It's a good question for AirSec people, right? Yeah. AirSec people, because they are working on that issue and they make presentation in that moment, and it could be a very good time to ask them about that and to see how it could work.
A very good point, Sebastian. Let's keep that in mind, and I will make a note as I digest whatever is forwarded to the list and thinking of our follow-up question for SAC. We can include that because I think, and Olaf, in no way does that mean that you need to get an answer between now and next Tuesday. We can fold that into the question as well. We're asking, with the .sc folks, but more broadly still, what is our SX user understanding Very good point. Let's include that. All right. Other thoughts? Other issues folks wanted to raise? All right. If we could, then I think it would be helpful if we start digging into the our third question, charter questioning about partial bulk transfer. Some of the previous discussions, we've used even the term, we provided a clause at the end of the sentence, transfer involving a number of names, but not the entire group of names held by the losing registrar. I know from registrar perspective, as we're working on our statement, and just the natural questions come up. Well, what is the number of names, for example? It would probably help to start thinking about some of the details about what would be involved here, what would constitute a partial bulk transfer. Not that we necessarily have to draft out, flesh out. Still an open question whether this should even be accepted or not, incorporated or not. But, for the record, it would probably be beneficial to have a little more thinking that could be incorporated and reflected in our initial draft, because I think there's naturally just more questions get asked when this initial question gets raised. If anybody has started giving some thought to this, please, floor is open. Fair enough. I honestly haven't given it a whole lot of thought either, other than questions about what some of the details might be. Well, let's do this. This is probably something that we are going to want to address, need to address. So let's consider this some homework for everyone. For next week in particular, and thereafter. Depending on your constituency's position on the issue, if you're open to the idea of a partial bulk transfer, then I think we need to start fleshing out a bit what that will involve. Numbers, just details. We can't have very loose language in any recommendation in the final report that will go forward. So, I would ask everyone again if you're willing to support the idea, then let's start tightening up the language and fleshing it out. And on the other hand, of course, if you are against it, if you feel that the existing policy is fine as it is, partial bulk transfer is not necessary. Certainly make that point known, why, and help those who might be willing to accept it, try and bring them around to your view. We can discuss that more next week. I hate to keep people, there's no need to have a call just for the call's sake to fill out the hour. Granted, we're only a little past halfway through the meeting, but if we're not prepared this morning or today to discuss these issues, I would ask everyone if there are any other issues folks would like to address now. And if not, then why don't we close this one off early this week? Again, implore everybody to get their constituency statements together, get it in, post it to the list, or get it to Marika before Friday or by Friday, close the business Friday. And again, to start giving some more thought to this third question, and then finally to the third thing that was to check the list, please, for what Mike will post, the initial inputs from the SAC, digest what they provided, and let's talk about next Tuesday what follow-on questions we'd have for them. So again, last call, anybody? Other issues that we'd like to discuss today? fair enough. Then, you know, we know what we need to do between now and next Tuesday. Thank everybody for the time, but let's draw this one to an early close today.
Okay.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Have a good day now. Bye-bye.
Bye.